This article is brought to you by the best-selling books Eat Right Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne, because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. How to deal with the emotional residue you carry after a particularly hard conversation at work. What lingers after a hard conversation, and how to clear it before it costs you. In short, emotional residue after difficult conversations does not announce itself. It settles quietly, distorts your judgment, strains other relationships, and follows you into tomorrow's work. Recognizing what you're carrying is not soft thinking. It is the difference between a professional who recovers well and one who slowly accumulates damage they cannot name. The signs are subtle and easy to dismiss as tiredness, stress, or just having a bad day. Left uncleared, emotional residue from one conversation shapes how you show up in the next. Recovery begins with recognition, not with pretending the weight is not there. Definition: emotional residue after difficult conversations is the psychological weight that remains after a hard exchange ends. It includes rumination, low-grade anxiety, physical tension, and altered moods that linger past the conversation itself, quietly influencing your behavior, your decisions, and your relationships without your full awareness. You thought it was over the moment you walked out of that room. The conversation was done. The door was closed. You'd said what needed saying, or at least some version of it. But 3 hours later, you're still running it back, still tensing at the memory of a particular moment, still not quite present in the meeting you're now sitting in. That is emotional residue, and it is one of the most underestimated forces in workplace communication. The trouble with emotional residue conversations leave behind is that they mimic other things. They look like tiredness. They feel like general stress. They get filed under rough week and left alone. And because the original conversation is technically finished, it feels strange, almost indulgent, to admit that it is still affecting you. So you push through. You carry on, and the weight stays with you, invisible and heavy. After reading this, you will be able to name what you're carrying, recognize which signs point to residue rather than ordinary fatigue, and take one clear first step toward genuinely clearing it. What stays with you after a hard exchange? The conversation ends. The body does not always know that. When you go through a genuinely difficult exchange, your nervous system treats it as a form of threat. Your brain mobilizes to manage the emotional stakes, read the other person, control your own reactions, and hold a complicated position, all at the same time. That is an enormous amount of sustained effort. When it ends, the activation does not simply switch off. What follows is a biochemical and psychological tale that can last hours or days, depending on the intensity of what happened and how resolved it felt. This is not weakness. It is how human beings are built. The problem is not that you carry something. The problem is when you carry it without knowing you are, and let it drive your behavior from somewhere you cannot see. 6 signs you are still carrying a conversation you think you have finished. 1. You keep running the conversation back. What it looks like: you find yourself replaying specific moments, rehearsing better versions of what you said, or turning to one particular exchange that still feels unresolved. It happens in the shower, during your commute, or right as you're trying to fall asleep. Why it happens? The brain replays events that feel incomplete or threatening. It is searching for resolution, for a different outcome, or for a way to protect you next time. This is a survival mechanism, not a character flaw. Why it matters? When replaying produces no new insight and simply loops, it drains cognitive energy and keeps your stress response activated. You are paying an ongoing cost for a conversation that is already over. What to do? Set a 5-minute window to write down every thought still circling. Give the loop a place to land. Once it is on paper, your brain has less reason to keep generating it. Then close the notebook. Genuinely close it. Eamon's note: I spent years believing that if I just thought about it long enough, I would arrive at the perfect thing I should have said. I never did. The loop was not producing insight. It was producing exhaustion. 2. You are shorter with people who had nothing to do with it. What it looks like: you snap at a colleague over something minor. You give clipped answers in a meeting. You feel irritated by ordinary requests that would not normally bother you. The people around you notice a shift even if they do not know the cause. Why it happens? Emotional flooding narrows your tolerance. When your system is still processing the weight of an earlier conversation, there is less reserve available for patience, nuance, or generosity. Small things tip you because you are already close to the edge. Why it matters. You risk damaging relationships that had nothing to do with the original exchange. If this becomes a pattern, colleagues learn to read you as unpredictable, and trust erodes without anyone being able to explain exactly why. What to do? Before you interact with others after a hard conversation, give yourself a transition. 2 minutes outside, a glass of water, one deliberate slow breath. It sounds trivial. It is not. It creates a gap between the residue and the next relationship. Eamon's note. My wife used to ask me what had happened at work before I had even taken off my coat. I was carrying it on my face and in my voice, aimed at people who did not deserve it. 3. You avoid the person, the topic, or anything that resembles it. What it looks like. You take a longer route to avoid passing someone's office. You steer conversations away from anything adjacent to what was discussed. You find reasons not to raise something that genuinely needs to be raised. Why it happens. After a hard exchange, the brain associates the person or topic with threat. Avoidance reduces the discomfort in the short term. It feels like self-protection. Why it matters. Avoidance guarantees that whatever was left unresolved stays unresolved. It allows small rifts to become entrenched distances. Over time, it also limits your professional movement, topics you cannot touch, people you cannot engage with, rooms you root around. What to do? Name the avoidance for what it is. You do not have to re-enter the conversation immediately, but identify one small re-engagement that is manageable, a brief, neutral exchange in a corridor, a simple acknowledgement by email. You are not reopening the wound. You are keeping the connection from closing entirely. Eamon's note. I once rerouted my morning for 3 weeks rather than pass someone's office. I told myself I was busy. I was afraid. Naming that made it smaller. 4. The conversation bleeds into the next one you have to prepare for. What it looks like. You sit down to prepare for a different, upcoming difficult conversation, and you find yourself thinking about the last one instead. Your preparation is contaminated by yesterday's unresolved feelings. Why it happens. Emotional residue colors your expectations. You begin applying the patterns and outcomes of one exchange onto a new situation that may be entirely different. Why it matters. You walk into the next conversation already guarded, already fatigued, already half expecting the same outcome. Your responses are shaped by the previous exchange rather than the current one. This is how one hard conversation makes the next one harder. If you are preparing for a difficult exchange and want a clear method for that, how to start a difficult conversation that's blocking your team's synergy gives you a grounded starting point. What to do? Before preparing for any new difficult exchange, write one sentence completing this. What I'm still carrying from the last one is name it, set it aside, then begin fresh. This is not magical. It is deliberate separation. Eamon's note. This one took me the longest to see. I thought I was being thorough. I was actually dragging old weather into a new season. 5. You question whether you handled it correctly, on a loop. What it looks like. You replay not just what was said, but whether you were fair, whether you came across as aggressive or weak, whether you said too much or not enough. The self-assessment never quite settles. Why it matters. A brief, honest review is valuable. But when the questioning becomes circular, it functions more like self-punishment than self-improvement. It keeps your confidence slightly lowered for every conversation that follows. Why it happens. Most people who care about communication also care about getting it right. When a conversation is hard, the margin for error feels larger, and your internal critic sharpens accordingly. What to do? Give yourself one honest question. Did I act from my values, even if it was imperfect? If yes, that is enough. If you genuinely made a mistake, identify the one specific thing you would do differently, note it, and move forward. A single learning point is progress. A verdict with no end is not. If staying grounded during tense conversations is something you find difficult, the core framework for staying grounded during a tense workplace conversation gives you a practical way to hold yourself steady. Eamon's note. There is a difference between learning from a conversation and being tried by it. I have sat on both sides of that line. 6. You feel fine, and then you do not. What it looks like. Immediately after the conversation, you feel functional. You even think you handled it well. Then 4 hours later, or the next morning, a wave of unease arrives with no obvious cause. This is the counterintuitive sign. Why it happens. Adrenaline and focus carry you through the conversation and briefly sustain you after. When that fades, and your system finally processes what happened, the emotional weight arrives late. People mistake this delay for the feeling being irrational, because they cannot connect it to anything current. Why it matters? Because you feel fine initially. You do not take the recovery steps you need. The residue is more time to settle in before you recognize it for what it is. What to do? Build a simple post-conversation practice regardless of how you feel in the immediate aftermath. A 10-minute debrief with yourself, a short walk, or a few written notes. Do this after every significant exchange, not only the ones that leave you visibly shaken. Think of it as a standing commitment to your own recovery, not a response to a crisis. Eamon's note. The conversations that hit me hardest were never the ones I expected. It was always the ones I thought I had handled just fine. The root that produces most of this. Each sign above is different on the surface, but underneath them, they share a common source: the absence of a deliberate transition between the conversation and the rest of your day. We do not treat difficult conversations as the significant neurological events they are. We treat them as items on a to-do list. 1 minute, you're managing someone's hostility or delivering news that will hurt someone. The next minute, you are in a budget review. No gap. No acknowledgement. No recovery. The residue does not dissolve on its own. It just goes underground. The professional culture around these conversations reinforces this, showing that a conversation has affected you is often read as fragility. So people perform composure while carrying the weight privately, accumulating it conversation by conversation, until it starts leaking out in the ways described above. Understanding how unmet needs drive conflict and what to say to restore synergy can also help you make sense of why certain conversations hit harder than others. A short diagnostic you can run today. Read each statement. Answer honestly yes or no. I have replayed a recent difficult conversation more than 3 times without arriving at a new conclusion. I felt irritable or short with someone who had no part in a recent hard exchange. I have avoided a person or a topic since a difficult conversation took place. I felt reasonably fine after a conversation, but experienced unease or low mood later without a clear cause. I entered a recent conversation already expecting it to go badly, partly based on a previous exchange. I have questioned my handling of a conversation repeatedly without arriving at a clear takeaway. My focus or output has been below its normal standard since a difficult exchange. If you answered yes to 2 or fewer, you are managing well. Keep your recovery habits honest. If you answered yes to 3 or 4, residue is present and active. Name what you're carrying and apply at least one of the steps above today. If you answered yes to 5 or more, the weight is significant. This is not a sign of weakness. It is a sign that you took the conversation seriously and have not yet given yourself a path out. Start with the simplest step: write down what is still circling. Then take 10 minutes outside before your next interaction. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling book Say It Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at eamonblickthorne.com. Now, back to the article. Where to go from here? The first move is recognition. You cannot clear what you have not named. Once you can see the specific signs you're carrying, the recovery becomes practical rather than vague. If a conversation ended in genuine damage to a working relationship, the bridge method for rebuilding working relationships after tension gives you a structured way forward. If a conversation made things worse rather than better, the recover method for when a tension management conversation backfires is worth your time. And if the residue you carry tends to show up as defensiveness when you receive feedback, the core framework for staying calm when feedback triggers a defensive reaction addresses that pattern directly. For the team dimension, when unresolved residue is causing people to withdraw from necessary exchanges, the deal method for resolving conflicts that fracture team synergy offers a clear, repeatable process. Here is the truth of it. A hard conversation is not over simply because the words have stopped. Emotional residue after difficult conversations is real. It is specific, and it is manageable when you know what to look for. The professionals I have most respected over the decades were not the ones who felt nothing. They were the ones who recovered well, and who took their recovery seriously enough to treat it as part of the work itself. Frequently asked questions. What is emotional residue after difficult conversations? Emotional residue after difficult conversations is the psychological weight that stays with you after a hard exchange ends. It shows up as rumination, tension, fatigue, or low-grade anxiety that follows you into the rest of your day, affecting decisions, focus, and other relationships without you fully realizing it. How long does emotional residue from a hard conversation last? It varies by person and by the conversation itself. For some people, it fades within hours. For others, it lingers for days, especially when the conversation felt unresolved, personal, or high stakes. Without active recovery steps, emotional residue from difficult conversations can quietly accumulate over weeks. How do you recover emotionally after a difficult conversation at work? Start by naming what you're carrying rather than pushing it aside. Physical movement helps discharge nervous system activation. Writing down what you're still replaying separates useful reflection from unhelpful rumination. Speaking briefly with a trusted colleague can restore perspective. Give yourself a defined transition before your next task. Is it normal to feel drained after a hard conversation at work? Completely normal. Difficult conversations require intense cognitive and emotional effort. Your brain processes threat, manages language, reads the other person, and monitors your own reactions all at once. That sustained effort produces genuine fatigue, not weakness. Recognizing it as normal is the first step toward recovering from it. Why do I keep replaying a difficult conversation in my head? Replaying is your brain trying to resolve something that felt unfinished or threatening. It searches for what you should have said, what danger remains, or how to protect yourself next time. This loop is useful for a short time, but it becomes harmful when it produces no new insight and simply drains your energy. Can uncleared emotional residue affect future difficult conversations? Yes, and this is the part most people miss. Residue from one hard conversation bleeds into the next. You walk in already guarded, already fatigued, already primed to react. Your responses stop being shaped by the current situation and start being shaped by the last one, often without you realizing the shift has happened. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblackthorne.com to get your copy.